Okay, ready? Okay, I guess we'll call the meeting to order. Roll call.
McGill?
Here.
Scarlett?
Here.
Steele?
Here.
Miller, absent. Steelmeyer, absent.
Okay, my name's Steve McGill. I'm the acting chair this evening. Dave is not able to be here. We do have a quorum. Start off with the approval. The agenda's been posted. Any additions to the agenda? If not, I seek a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Approval of minutes, since Aaron Winger is here and we don't have a quorum really to approve, I think we're going to have to table the minutes to our next meeting. So we'll move on from there. We'll now open it up to item 5 on our agenda, the latest general works. If there's any public comments about anything that we have that is not in front of the board of adjustments this evening, we'll accept any public comments at this time. Hearing none, we'll move on to any old business that needs to be transacted.
No.
Okay, moving on then to our new business, and that's 7.1 variant 03-12. Who's here? Is that Todd Snark? I apologize if I butchered it. So, Charlie, I believe you're up.
Within 2 miles of this property, and the requested action from you is for a variance to section 4.2-E of the Story County Land Development Regulations, which is to allow for a single family dwelling to be built upon a parcel that is less than 35 acres. Surrounding property owner map that was sent to all the surrounding property within a quarter mile. You'll see the property question here at the more close pictures. Two pictures that were actually taken this afternoon on the property. I'll kind of show you on the map here in a second where these were kind of located. This is part of the northwest corner of the property, kind of looking to the south. This one kind of from the same location, looking a little bit more southeast on the property. This one kind of towards the center of the northern property line, looking due south. And looking a little bit northwest, or excuse me, southwest here. This one taking kind of from the northeast corner, looking southwest. Just trying to do a feel of the property and what exactly the characteristics of it are. Going over some of the findings of facts that were included in the staff report, first we noted that no more than 1 million story comes in 1958 at this time. This particular parcel, the east half of the half that's closest to North Dakota Avenue, the east half of that property was zoned R1 residential, while the west half was zoned A1 agriculture. At the time, the A1 zoning district did require a minimum acres of 1 acre to be considered eligible for a single family dwelling, and the R1 district requires 30,000 square feet. With a revision to the zoning ordinance in 1960, the R1 district's minimum lot size requirement did shrink down to 25,000 square feet from 30,000 square feet. And on June 30th of 1977, that was the date that the A1 zoning district minimum acres requirement went from 1 net acre to 35 net acres. Going down a little bit further, in 1986, the South Lebanon acres were split off the parent quarter section parcel on the 27th, 31st, southern 11 acres was split off as parcel, which created the subject parcel in its current configuration. And then on March 22nd, 1989, Board of Supervisors did amend the official zoning map of Clark County, which changed the zoning on the subject parcel to all A1 agriculture, so that you don't have to copy the change from R1 to A1 in 1989. And then this year, on August 30th, 2012, the applicant did request that county staff be copy the interest on this parcel to see if there were any exceptions to the 35-acre minimum lot size requirement for this. There are four exceptions that we do have both in the ordinance to that 35-acre minimum requirement, and staff did find that none of the exceptions to the A1 zoning district apply in there, but the zoning permit for single-family dwellings could not be issued on this property. Looking at the legal principles for adopting a variance, that was one of the many times. And I'm sure that you know that in the staff report, I won't read these verbatim, but they're in the staff report if you can see a few things. To kind of outline a few things that we noted. First of all, the customer is kind of looking at some of the transaction data on this parcel. First, going back to when the current property owner bought this parcel in 2010, it was bought along with a bunch of other parcels totaling roughly about 160 acres. For a price that's a little over $1 million, $1.2 million, it would be about $6,900 per acre. Of those 186 acres, we would estimate that 61 of those acres were timbered, 29 were pastured, and 96 were what we consider medium quality. According to a 2011 survey done by Iowa State University Extension, kind of giving the value of what those particular pieces of ground would be valued at per acre, and based off those numbers, the 186 acres that the current property owner being purchased, we estimate to be valued at approximately $780,000. We estimate that was about 60% of what the land was actually sold for. The land, in this case, did sell for a little bit more than the numbers from the Iowa State and Farmland Survey showed. With that site, there was also an old basic farm set site that was sold separately, totaling 4.53 acres directly north of this parcel. That was also sold in 2010 for $120,000, that's maybe about $26,500 per acre. Looking at those numbers, we would estimate that the subject parcel is about 8 acres of timber zone and 21 acres of pasture zone. And we would estimate agricultural value at $64,800 based off that 2011 farmland survey. Knowing that value would be approximately 60% of the land actually sold for in 2010, we would estimate that this 20 acre parcel, this particular parcel sold for approximately $1,000. When you look at that compared to the residential parcels that are similar, you kind of see the difference between the residential land and the agricultural land. The appellant has stated that the property is not able to use as agricultural spot production ground. And if you just spot it being the parcel, the soils, and the erosion conditions. Furthermore, the soil ability for your state is hampered by sandy soils and the soil moisture. Looking at the LiDAR elevation data that is available to us, we show elevations on this property ranging from 990 feet above sea level to down to 933 feet above sea level. So roughly a change there. The way the property does fly, it flies from the northeast side being the highest elevation down to the east side of the property. Additionally, there is approximately 3.5 acres worth of floodplain on this property. The property's average CFR from the suitability rating. The value of the subject parcel, according to the Story County Assessor's Office, is 67.2. The land evaluation portion of the lease assessment that we gave to Brad and Hackman for land evaluation and site assessment, that is for 70 out of 100 feet. He has very similar to what the CFR rating is. from that kind of evaluation to the main research. Next here shows the properties. Next year, we'll show you the actual official zoning map of the county, the yellow area being part of one residential, the area that's shown no part of the main one agricultural area, across the federal avenue, county line, or even up the federal avenue, and the federal area. This map here shows the classification, the assessment classification of the property in Tennessee, but I generally meant to address the county line, but it's the yellow area being in the property that are assessed. Looking at the adopted Story County Development Plan and the meaning of that, from the book morning, the look over this area, and it is adopted component of the County Development Plan. Again, it does designate the subject property as for the residential. Looking in the urban service area, that land is the land that is meant to be the land in the Angeling Trend Plan. TV analysts can develop inside the city during the life of that plan, which is up to 2030. These areas are planned to be developed at urban standards rather than the rural residential standards. We did note, though, that the addition of one home to approximately 2,900 acre parcel does not necessarily restrict that parcel from being developed to urban standards at some point in the future. But obviously, it could be a community to get open with my reference to the current state. Looking at the land development regulations, they are arranged to provide for zoning system review and regulation authority of Story County Governmental Agency and the rights of land owners. We did note while the land development regulations typically require a minimum of 35 acres to be considered buildable for single family dwelling in the inland zoning district. And there's now four exceptions to that rule that allow for the parcels of less than 35 acres to be considered buildable. One of those exceptions, the lease exception, would apply to this parcel if it was located in the agricultural and farm services area, again, being turned from another designation in the county development plan. The lease exception was removed from one of the urban service areas to avoid development that would not be done at urban standards. And would put those into the theory in the sense of the furthermore, we did note that there are other avenues the accountants could use to create available land on the separate parcel, no particular area in the official zoning map amendment, and zoning map property. The subject parcel is adjacent to a negative zone of R1 residential, and the subject is called a master area, so it is a stable place. So with that, your four alternatives are listed on the screen there above, and if there is any questions you need, I would be happy to answer them. Just one.
I apologize, we missed the way this works. We let the staff give their opinion, then we hear from the applicant. And then any public comments, and then we'll close it for deliberation. So any questions for staff at this point?
Yes.
If not, open it. Any comments from the applicant?
Thank you. I think the variance is allowed. As my understanding,
plan before we go forward, we need to anticipate that we're going to be talking about, because the property can be accepted to the area. And I know that Sarah's company first briefly discussed that we're going to be able to do the project as well. In my letter, we essentially tried to, in a way, showing you that we'd like to be careful. Obviously, the property is not currently going to be used for the current property owner. Purchase the property along with the large development, large development, large ground area. Because I think it's close to 180 from over in the same type of surface in 2010. This parcel is a parcel that's
Questions to the applicant? I got a couple. Charlie, can we throw the map back up on there? Well, that'd be good enough. Where you're looking to build the house? Where are you looking to build the home at? Approximately.
If you were gonna write in obviously, in this area down here, so very close to Brooklyn.
Right.
These two areas are really range paths, so you're kind of tripping what you can accomplish there from the area or something. But right in here, obviously, in this area, would work for Brooklyn.
One of the comments that was made is access. Where is the access? And I haven't driven by the property, I apologize. I tried to get out there before I get to the...
These are 2008 aerials, so they're not going
to cross the access that we put in. I think Charlie is right along the road access that actually comes up to the front of the pier. The previous landowner actually was teaching the development company when they started selling off the property, they actually sold
As I'm reading this, it only allows for the variance for the one residence in this property, correct?
So this isn't being subdivided, it's a variance for the 35 acres or the 40 acres or whatever.
Yeah, that's the way I read this request. Any other questions for the applicant? I have a couple questions for staff. Sure, go ahead. What are the surrounding property ownership patterns?
to as far as...
Just immediately adjacent parcels. Are they owned by the same property owner?
Oh, yeah, that's my question. I believe that this property right here, and I believe this one right here is owned by Sam Charlie, this one is owned by Sam Charlie, and the rest of them are owned by Sam Charlie. But this is all in it. I think there's nothing out of the way. It's probably in the last 3 or 4 years, it's all field some development and all this land out here. And there was a time where there was like a mass development kind of close to this area that would be meant for them to do anything. That kind of fell to the wayside with some issues of more or less an overpass. Or unless they put over the railroad tracks there, that maybe can never get it in front of the city for review because of that. And then at the same time, I think there's some kind of territory issue on the way that the city really kind of has a chance to go around with the development on this area because of that stuff.
The parcel to the west, is it an intact 40-acre parcel? And then the other question I had was, I know this is not in the Ag and Farm Services area, but what is the LISA exception threshold in the Ag and Farm Services area?
The numbers you mean?
Yeah.
LISA, the total LISA score would have to be under 267 out of 300, and the site assessment portion of the LISA score would be 200 points, would have to be under 172.
Yeah, because you were talking about 70 out of 100.
Yeah, so we sort of got a total of 300 points. The first 100 points are the land evaluation portion of that. That's where we look at the soil and build up the soil suitability for low crop production as well. And again, that was that number that I said, you know, 70 out of 100.
Okay.
And then we look at the other 200 points are site assessment issues, and that's more or less, you know, distance to cities, surrounding zoning, land use, within a mile, distance to municipal water, distance to municipal sewer, distance to public transit, all issues that go into that, and the formula score on that is out of that 200. So out of that 200, if the score was 172 or less, and then the total lease score, we would add that land evaluation and site assessment ends up being below 266 as well, then you would meet that assessment.
Okay. So this parcel, were it in the Ag and Farm Services area, would fall well below the threshold. Yeah.
I think they're in your letter, though, because in paragraph 3, you talked about the site assessment score for the property is 172, while the total lease score is
266.
That's not what it is. It goes to the threshold that has to be under.
Oh, okay.
You don't have a property. Do you want to know what that score was? You can go that one real quick.
Do you have any questions?
Do you have any questions? Yeah. I bounce back and forth. I do have questions to the applicant. When it comes to the variance process, do you feel like that you understand what the legal principles are and what the legal standard is to have the variance granted? Right. And the legal principles are outlined in the staff report too.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that the staff explained that that's a fairly tough legal standard to meet.
We
we did have a conversation, I think, at one point about the leader corner at the same time that we went through those. We felt confident that we were going to be all of those. It's just a matter of, you know, days that we had to get to the majority of the attorney. And, you know, kind of objecting.
Right. Right. What's reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
I had some questions for staff, and I don't know if you guys can even address this, but if that property to the north, the 5 acres, why would that be split off? What could anyone do with that if they have a 35 acre minimum?
You're talking this one right here.
Yeah.
This one actually met what we would consider a farmstead exception. One of the four exceptions would be a farmstead exception. And that exception states that if there was a farmstead in place on the property, and we define a farmstead as farm dwelling, farm outbuilding, being graded, you know, just a traditional farmstead. But if there was a farmstead in place on the property prior to that date, we went from the 1 acre minimum to the 35 acre minimum, being graded, you can flip that farmstead off at any time with minimum farmstead.
Okay. My other question is, why did you split the 11 acres to the south side of the property, knowing that there was a 35 acre minimum? Because that was done after that was implemented.
Yeah, and this one right here was probably falling under the farmstead exception as well.
Okay.
This one right here, it doesn't mean there's a house located on, you know, there's no house even, there's nothing located on this property. I'm not sure what the ownership is on this property, but if I remember right, I think when the developer owned that entire 186 acres, I believe both these parcels were owned as well. You can kind of see as an access point for the development in Minnesota.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So,
yeah, and that's right. Okay, and you're right. Yeah, because this parcel is on there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so that parcel is owned by the one adjoining in yellow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's still only 11 acres.
What?
And that's just these two parcels here, that's what all that is.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Right.
And didn't you say that there was a farm on this acre that you're talking
this
about?
This one, no.
There's never been a house on that property.
Nothing that we live in. You can kind of see. You look at it, you know, if you take away these property lines right here, you kind of have this farm set right there, and you can kind of see on this one fence standard right there that I would assume probably would have been a factor to that farm set at some point. Obviously, no longer used anymore, but it's you kind of see that fence right here in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just kind of shows you what that area probably would look like.
So does this area go all the way to a half, all the way to the asphalt that we put in?
No, it does not, actually. There is still a parcel of about 2.5 acres of the corn by the yard department.
But it goes east and west, parallel to the asphalt, really, all the way. No, okay. No, the asphalt road is
that's not good.
Right. So the ground you're going to find bumps up against the last
fall. Oh, yes. Yeah. Excuse me. Let's hold this a minute, and then we can have some public comments here in a moment. I'm watching and listening, so any other questions for the applicant from the board? All right, now I'll open it for public hearing. Well, I was watching, you know, and I was listening to what you were saying.
How about, is there anything? I own property in the west. I own the west 130 acres on the west side of the west. So, including this, getting this man a very... Is there anything that's going to harm me in any way? The future development of my ground. Mm-hmm. And the way it sounds, I may not be able to qualify because my ground is a little higher protective. So when I look across the river in Green County, you see all the hitting the horse farms over there. You know, thankfully, yes, the development is going to go through as a major residential development like it was originally intended for.
Could I ask just for the record your name? Okay, Steve, thank you.
This property, that Carmelo Crystal, is that the river accumulated? Any acre? So that would be something that owns. And then maybe you were the first one to buy a portion of that. Right, and then the second portion of it went to the landfill. You own the property further to the west, obviously.
Oh, so for you, the
yeah.
Okay.
West of the picture, yes. Well, I understand that this variance is just a request for this one parcel. It's not any others would have to come before the board.
You know, like he wanted to build this house and they turn on what's built three more, then you'd have to subdivide the
I remember. Staff, is that correct?
Yeah.
Which that should, I mean, they, I would think you'd go along with that and they have rejected their end of the family as far as development. Because it is for the work of the ground as far as high and ground agriculture. That part, you know,
Okay.
For range.
Any other public comments? Any other questions for the applicant? Why don't you, for the record?
He stated, based on the proposed of building one home on the 20-acre parcel, I have no concerns with this variance. I assume that if more houses were proposed for this parcel, an additional variance would be needed. As long as at this time it is only one house for these properties, I recommend granting the variance.
Okay. Any other public comments, staff, you've received?
Yeah, typically our A1 zoning district requires a minimum of 35 acres to a house subject to any exception. Houses out there, either it's in a different zoning district or in each one of those exceptions.
Could you? Excuse me, could you identify yourself for the record here? All right, Eileen. Thank you. Any more comments? Any questions of the board for staff or for the applicant?
I have a question. The 11 acres to the south was divided in 1986. When did the 35 acre minimum go into effect?
35 acres.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but in effect, the property owner has already took advantage of one exception to divide off a farmstead on the south side of this parcel. reading themselves and what they knew was, reading the remainder being what they knew would be unbuiltable, correct? So that in essence, by dividing that, they took advantage of the exception, of one exception already out of that parcel, and have left themselves, have kind of put themselves in this position of having an unbuiltable parcel to sell.
Sorry, I have a question for you. In your recommendation, you state that you feel it's more in keeping with the plan if they apply for rezoning of that property?
Yeah, and you know, the discussions that we have had with them, more or less pointing out, I think, one avenue could be just looking at the dynamics of this area, would it be eligible for rezoning or not. So when we originally had met with the applicant, we kind of just laid out the two options would be to go for a variance, and as the board of adjustment, it was a very strange issue, and you can modify the variance in the past, maybe an incident for, I would say, more extreme issues on this one, where you have really steep slopes and all the flood kind of property. So realistically, there was actually no value to go out into the parcel that was going to have a house on it. When that kind of showed them those variances that they've done with that, you know, it was different off the fact that a rezon might be more within the spirit and intent of the land development regulation. And based off the indoor fence plan designation, you know, the urban residential designation definitely is support to rezon and engage with the planning.
See what they did.
When did they change? Three or four years ago, within 2 miles of the studio, it was actually split a lot off about meeting the 35 acre requirement.
No. Again, if it had met any of those sessions, we'd be able to split it off. It was just about a year ago, and it was just a little bit that we. Into agreement with the City of Ames and the City of Wilbur depending on the Ames urban fringe plan designation, who would review subdivisions and who would not review subdivisions. But prior to that, anything within that 2 mile buffer of the City of Ames would be reviewed by both Stowe County and the City of Ames, or the City of Wilbur, and the City of Wilbur and Culver. Obviously, you know, if the City of Ames really only has an interesting area for them developing at some point in the future. this area than they do show in their plan. And at some point, they do want to develop in this area. And obviously, there's a lot of things that need to go before to do that. But so they want to serve there. So this is the best proposed definition of this area. So it's kind of more feeling more on the discussion of using this area.
Board, any more questions for staff? Any more comments from the public? Any last comments before we close the meeting? The applicant? Okay. With that, nothing else to say. We'll close the meeting for deliberation by the board. You have the board in front of you. You've got the four options that have been I'm going to use executive privilege since there's few of us here. Well, question.
I know
the one I did note in the staff or comments that were made, conditions that were laid out by, I believe, City of Ames Planning, their recommendation was that there were, if the board were to consider approval of the request, would ask that the board condition approval on the applicant signing three covenant agreements that are typically asked for in a development occurs in the Ames or McFringen area. These covenants require the owner and successor to seek annexation to the city when the city requests, to agree not to protest any assessment needed for the extension of public utilities when annexed, and three, agree to reimburse the city of any costs associated with the disconnection of rural water. Those are the three I was referring to. The board can also put any other conditions on it that they would like. But those were the three that were recommended in here. I was kind of referring to those.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I kind of think city often does this with their development, after the land purchase and negotiating at all, the things that I can see why the city would want to have these traditional controllers, because that obviously gives them a lot more, gives them the ability to control anything on capital, but typically those positions and those covenants and those agreements are not signed until they're able to develop when they occur. This is not the case here. So again, another thing why they request that is that this gives them an opportunity to have control as they control. At the same time, it's typically not signed until they're able to develop.
Thank you. Any other comments? Try this again. All right. No, that's quite all right. We're a small enough group here. I don't have any problem with that. As long as we can keep up with the down on the end. With that, I will close it. And like I said, there are four options we have. We could approve the variance as proposed with conditions. We could approve the variance just as proposed. We could deny the variance as proposed, and we could table the variance for further information from the staff or the applicant.
And
correct. Any comments? I think the first thing is we have to adopt the findings. Charlie's right. The findings of fact with this proposal.
I move that we adopt the findings of fact that's laid out in the staff report.
A second, then.
We have a motion by Steele, a second by Scarlett. A roll call vote.
McGill.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Okay. Ah.
Next step is we have to, this is the portion. Remind me again our next step, Charlie. So I'm in.
The decision. So all of the where we're in the staff report is that comments is the voting decision on the board comments. So if there's anything required when we end the next step, we'll do that as part of the that's the decision portion.
Okay. And we're down to the decision portion.
Kind of correct me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of just commentary. You don't actually have a recommendation. So
no,
we
and the order is the final.
Right. So we would need to come to a decision and decide if your commentary is the appropriate verbiage we want to attach to the decision. Okay.
So based on that, is the commentary correct?
Yeah. I think the commentary is correct. It's just such a hard legal standard to meet. You know, you can get hung up right away on the reasonable return as a component of the hardship you have to demonstrate. The precedent is that virtually no return, no financial return whatsoever, possible from the property. And that in agriculture, you should be producing some return. So that's the challenge for us. Is to, love to find a way. I would love to find a way to demonstrate that hardship criteria was met. As long as there's no reasonable return, or as long as there's a reasonable return on the property, then I just can't get past that. I would add to that, though, that I think that there are some options here. You know, we already discussed rezoning, but you also have, the same property owner on contiguous parcels. And one of them at least an undivided parcel, I think that there could be an option for adding the additional acreage from the neighboring parcel to get 35 acres. None of these are easy or cheap solutions, but
question, Charlie, if they rezone, does that open the door then? Let's say that the applicant was wanting to build other houses on that property and it was rezoned R1. That opens the door for development, doesn't it?
If it were to be rezoned to R1, for example, to match what is out there, at that point, you would expect that if you are comfortable with having 25,000 square foot lot out there. At that point, if they were to ever submit a subdivision drive that met all the standards that are subdivision, then they would have to approve it because they're going to be rezoning the picture from the entire review of that system.
So, a variance keeps more control over the use of the property than rezoning.
Yeah, I would say the variance would guarantee you at this point that you would only have the one house out there. I won't say it's a guarantee because we do get a lot of cultural attention about what it is. So,
Any other comments out of the board?
I might just add that this property, despite having a low agricultural return, perhaps, does have some, and in addition, it has already produced a buildable parcel out of its original intact parcel, and is already taking advantage of one of the exceptions. And so, again, I think that's just one thing that makes the hardship argument even more challenging.
Any questions? Do I hear your motion? I guess I feel that when that was originally split off, that 11 acres at one point in time, the buyers of the property, that was many years ago, I guess I'm not hung up on that portion. the reasonable return for Story County. I guess my own opinion is I think, as the public put it, looking at it, it may be a good place for reindeer. Just from looking at the elevation, looking at the floodplain, how it falls off. I am also concerned, it was put together with the idea that to try to also control, you know, there is some encroachment on agricultural property, and that concerns me some. But I also see that this is not top-grade agricultural property either. This is my feeling. Good. Oh. Kristen, there you go. Excuse me. I appreciate it. Thank you. What you giving me, newbie? I don't know. Okay, we've adopted the finding of the facts. The next is the decision regarding legal principles. We've been through that. Yep. Exactly. Hmm? We did that one. No, we just did the findings of fact and decision.
So the first one.
Mm-hmm. So there's a motion in front of you. The analysis of the legal principles.
Could you repeat that motion?
Move to adopt the decision regarding the findings of fact and the staff report prepared and the central position of the business.
Yeah, that one was one. We've done that one. That wasn't the agreed on. So now we're down to number two, the decision.
And that motion was?
Right here.
Okay. I'm sorry, I thought you said finding the fact.
I move to adopt the decision regarding the legal principles in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Second. We have a motion out of Scarlett, a second out of Steele. All in favor, roll call.
Steele.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Now we're down to the decision. That's where we've been driving to.
Approve this with the conditions that the city assessor put into place. You asked the question about signing it now or waiting until it is being developed, right? Isn't that what you were asking earlier when we talked about that?
The city now at
they're assuming that something is just going to be controlled by the
mm-hmm.
considering what's happened over the last 100 years, may not actually be the case.
Right.
Which a lot of different things about you know, something that could happen is that in the hurricane spring time of change, and that's really changing to be in the agricultural and the agricultural issue. What accounting would actually be
the oh, okay.
Instead of the city. You know, a lot of people in the area are talking about the large of the fact that it's better to be the building. But, I guess, and that's my worry is we're putting some sort of restriction on that now wouldn't necessarily be required, but somewhere down the line, if I'm in the city, I'm going to have to develop a
Is this a typical request starting in the end that the assessors put something like that in and that would be agreed upon?
It's from the housing department.
Okay.
But typically, we've never seen it on a variance request before, but definitely with similar requests we have in our new vehicle, conditional use permit for maybe research, which is right across the street from the Boston Country Club. They want to do similar remarks to that process with the solution. And before we got into that, some of the reasons that we have now. They would require that those kinds of subsidy in the process of those the covenants themselves is definitely not in the so I think we're just in the process of being there in fact that's something we don't see in the place. But I think in summary why they do it and I can't speak on their behalf and I can't show you if there's something that that their interest in our and to make it easier I would say on the city of England to use that kind of development. Obviously their research is doing the better to get some of these energy systems and hopefully they can kind of open out for what they're going to do after some of this.
It's just an ask, though, right? There's no 2080 agreement or anything that would require them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't ask for it, you don't get it. That's right.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Then I move to approve the request proposed by the applicant in case number VAR-0312 was discussed for the Zoning Board of Adjustment and any staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment. Finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied. And that's just as proposed.
I have a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second? What's the result if there's no second? Motion dies. We have a motion out of Scarlett, a second out of Steel. Call for a vote.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Steel?
Nay.
Motion passed?
Nope. Has to be unanimous. There's more agreement. Okay. So where do we... Okay. Any other motions that can be made? I would move that the variance be denied, finding that all the legal principles have not been met.
Have a motion? You'll hear a second. If you're not here a second, that means the motion dies. Then according to the way the rules are written, the motion is denied, correct? Does the applicant, that's the question on my part, does the applicant have the right to resubmit? All five members will be here?
They can request that even though well, because we didn't have a motion that passed either way, correct?
Could we have a motion on the board that tables this? Right, okay. Hey, I appreciate it. No problem at all on my part.
Do you need a motion to table this then?
Yes.
I move that we table this request until our next week.
Second. Motion out of Scarlett, second out of Steele to table the request for the next meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public call, roll call on that?
No.
Roll call vote.
Steele?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye. Motion tabled. Still in there pissing. Okay, going over our, moving on to our agenda. Other business? Okay, coming down through it. Documents, meeting schedule, and the calendar. 8.1 tabled items. Wonder appeal request. That will be considered the next meeting. Any other board comments?
Yeah, do we have to adopt
the calendar? Do we have to adopt the calendar? Okay, I'm sorry. Well, and I wasn't sure if it had to be a motion. Calendar is in front of everyone. It was there. Do I hear a motion to adopt the calendar?
So moved.
Second. Voice vote sufficient. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Calendar is adopted. As you can see, you have the tabled item. And any other board comments? Staff comments? Okay. Okay. Yes, I would appreciate it. All right.
This is for only playing them back.
Yeah,
I know.
We need a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
Motion by Scarlett.
Second
by Steele. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion adjourned.